Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We are so excited to have you with us this evening, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8:30-ish. As you come and participate with us this evening, we want you to know that we have been working on a very important topic. We've been dealing with the Book of Signs from Dr. David Jeremiah. And tonight we're going to be dealing with the issue of resurrection. Last week we talked about the rapture. This week we're going to talk about the resurrection. And so as we go through today, I was going to ask whoever it would like to read tonight, if they would read a scripture for us. Let's see. There's a John passage. Let's see. Luke. Let me get the one that we can sing for tonight. Is Margaret on the line? Let's see.
I'm on the line. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. Would you read the scripture for tonight? Either one of the 1 Corinthians 15.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want me to start at 42 or earlier?
235 to 49.
Read through that. Let's get one from the King James Version, and if someone could read one from the New Living Translation. And we'll start off with prayer, and then we'll have a song, then we'll have scripture, and we'll do our intercessory prayer. And by the time others should be here. And Miss Shirley, I know, how are you tonight?
I'll
glad
to
hear you online. God's good.
I can do the King
God's
James.
Good. You do which one?
King James. I can do the King James. 1 Corinthians 35:15-49.
Okay. Awesome. So, Margaret, do you have the scripture? So let's start off with the King James.
Do.
And if you would, let's start off with the King James, and if you would follow after her. But I'm going to open us in prayer. Most holy and righteous God, as we come before you, we just want to thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us through this day. With your finger of love, you watched over us. You woke us up. You've taken care of us. And, Lord, we come before you because we just want to say thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that you saw fit to give us an opportunity to be in the land of the living, because we had many family and friends that have passed on. But you have an assignment for us, and one of the assignments that you have for us is to teach this word to your people so that they might hear and come to have a personal relationship with you. So as we go through this study tonight, we are asking, oh God, that you help us understand and see what it means to be a part of the resurrection. Last week we talked about the rapture. Tonight we're going to talk about the resurrection. And we trust, oh God, that we will be ready and excited about sharing these truths so that others will come to know you. We ask these blessings in your Son's name we pray. Let us all say amen, amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. I'm going to be reading 1 Corinthians 15:35-49.
The song is next.
Oh, okay.
Glory.
glory because of who you are. I give you praise because of who you are. I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because
Shirley, I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 49. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive until it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, that the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in natural body. It is raised in spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and the afterward, the spiritual. The first man was the earth made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As we the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen.
Amen. This is Margaret, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 56. But someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. Similarly, there are different kinds of flesh, one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are also bodies in the heavens and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and stars each have another kind. And even the stars differ from each other in their glory. It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. The scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. What I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. these dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable.
Amen.
Amen.
The word
Amen.
Of the Lord for the people of God.
Amen.
Thanks be to God.
It's now time for our intercessory prayer. Just ask that those of you who are driving, if you put your phone on mute until you get ready to speak. But we need somebody who will do the intercessory prayer. I think we have Bishop on the line, and we have Eric. Bishop, are you there? Eric, are you there? Would you either of you do the intercessory prayer?
Dr. Susie, I am here. And
okay.
Yes, I can do the intercessory prayer. Is there any prayer requests? Anybody have anything that they want to pray for, want prayed for anybody?
I need prayer. This is Dr. Susie. Praying for land so that I can get my home. The people who were selling me my house after I paid for the inspection and everything, we were at the end of the deal, they pulled out. So have to start all over. And lost a little bit of money, but got to restore. So we just got to, you know, God's going to work it out. So we need prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
That. And
Amen.
In my job, things are changing where instead of us spending 30 minutes at least with a patient to hear what they have to say or what they need, we're down. I don't know how you can have a real relationship with someone in 15 minutes, but it's going down to 15 minutes. So praying for connections and relationship development and that God will still find ways that people will get their needs met. It takes most folk that long to warm up. But
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So.
God
has his
eye. Amen.
This is Shirley. I just want to sing his praises. Because he's a good God. He's an awesome
Amen.
God.
And Amen,
and
he never leaves us.
And the more
Amen.
We study, the more he shows us how good he is mm-hmm. and how we should never turn our back on him. So I just want to thank him for his grace and his mercy and to cover my family and just praise him. Just hallelujah and praise him. Praise him and just thank
hallelujah.
Him.
Hallelujah. Amen. Just thank you, Lord.
God.
Amen. We praise you.
Is there anyone else?
Bishop, this is Margaret. I just wanted to ask for prayer for my daughter who has had COVID, and she seems to be coming through it, and she's across the country in Oregon, so far away. But I know that the Lord can answer prayer and assist her. She had the vaccinations, but she still was very sick with fever and no smell or taste, and just ask that you would pray for her recovery and to protect the rest of the family as well. In Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Is there anyone else? Amen. Let's go to the Lord. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we come to you on this day. We extol you, we exalt you, we adore you, we magnify you, we magnify your holy name. We thank you for throughout the day and protecting us and keeping us that on the road right now listening. And I pray a hedge of protection around them in Jesus' mighty name. God, able, not only are you able, but you're willing. You're able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or imagine or even wish. You are able, Lord, and we don't question your ability. And we thank you for your willingness, Father God. Who you are in our lives is wonderful. It's magnificent. It's glorious. And we just don't take it for granted. Forgive us for any sin, anything that thought wrong or said wrong or done wrong or looked wrong, God. We just ask that you blot out all of our transgressions and cleanse us from all our iniquities, Lord God. We thank you for Dr. Susie's leg. You said for us all those things that are not as though they are. And we thank you. You heard her petition. You heard what she's standing in the need of. So, Father, we thank you for the solution that this land is there. Thank you for the restoration and multiplication of the funds that she has sent, that she has put in that ground as a seed faith offering to have that house, earnest money. Lord God, you are able to turn everything around. There's nothing too hard for you. So we stand in the gap for Dr. Susie. We thank you for her leadership. We thank you for her vision of this program, and we thank you that it will continue, for God. You are able. We thank you. God bless you. We honor you. We thank you. And Margaret, we want to lift up Margaret's daughter all the way in Oregon, but God, we thank you.
Oh,
you, as you're hearing, thank you. You, as you're hearing Margaret's request, we thank you for touching her daughter. Not too hard for you. You're everywhere. We thank you for the family protected from COVID. Thank you for the restoration of health, of the ability to breathe, the ability to taste, the ability to smell. We ask that you restore it right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, just like Sister Shirley said, we just want to praise you and glorify you because you're God and you're God all by yourself and don't need any help from anybody else. But Lord, we want to thank you for being our God. We want to thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. We want to thank you for raising Jesus Christ up from the dead. We want to thank you that he died on the cross, and in his dying he destroyed our death, and in his resurrection he restored our life. Father, as we open up the word and as we expound on the resurrection, we want to thank you for resurrection power. We bless you for resurrection power. We glorify you for resurrection power. Lord, we pray for our unsaved loved ones. We pray for them that you would send ministers across their path, that they would be able to reach them where we weren't able to reach them, Father. We thank you for sending evangelists to every nook and cranny of this world, that we would bring some people to heaven with us. We thank you, Lord, that you have done it to us and you've saved us where we were. We're not so proud we can say that we've been perfect all the time, because you know us from the time that we were born until now, God. And even after we
have been born again. We have made mistakes, and we have fallen away. And, God, you brought us back with your grace, your goodness, and your mercy, Lord God.
Yes.
Now, Father, we ask that you would send revival. And, Lord, we thank you for unity in the church, God. No matter what the shingle on the door is, you are our Father. You are our God. We are your people, and we ask that you would unite us and take every schism and division out of the body of Christ. God, use us to be the witnesses in this time that we're living in. And, God, we ask that you would send revival. Let your glory sweep across every continent. Let the glory of the Lord be revealed. Let angels come to war and minister on our behalf. God, let the Holy Spirit just flow across this world, God. And we know soon. We know we're looking at the signs right now. We see them. Lord, most of all, we want to be ready.
Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
We want to be ready for the We don't want to be left down here.
Yes,
Let us lay aside every sin and every so easily besets us and run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking to you, Jesus, glory to God, the author and the finisher of our faith. We give you praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We thank
Lord.
You, Lord. Let your presence be with us. God, glory to God. As we expound upon your word, let revelation knowledge flow.
In
Jesus' name. We pray for those in the listening audience. And they be going through something. We pray for the persecuted church. That pastor that is going, Jesus. That pastor, those leaders that are standing in your name and receiving persecution. God, give them a crown of glory, but give them the anointing and the braveness and the boldness and the tenacity to stand.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's come crying, what must I do to be saved?
Yes, Lord.
We bless you and glorify you in the mighty
yes,
name
Lord.
Of Jesus.
Thank
you, Lord
God.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Bishop, we thank you for the intercessory prayer.
God be the glory.
As we go through the service tonight, we just ask that we have a prayerful attitude that God is moving in the earth to prepare God's children to get ready so that when the trumpet is shouted, that they'll be ready. We'll all be
Amen.
Ready to go and be with him.
Amen.
Amen, amen. As we are gathered tonight, our topic again is the resurrection. Resurrection. So what does resurrection mean? Let's start off with some dialogue about what does resurrection mean. Because see, resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. The event that happened almost some 2,000 years ago, it is a tested fact in human history and experience. We have biblical scriptures that support that Jesus, when he predicted in the Old Testament, resurrection of Christ was predicted by Jesus. And during the 40 days that followed his resurrection, they talked about how he showed himself to people. He was alive. There were many infallible proofs. He cooked for folks. They touched him. And at various times, and places many people told others what they have seen. So Christ's resurrection, as I said, has been at the heart of the church's message from the day of Pentecost to the present. So by rising from the dead, Jesus Christ demonstrated that he cleansed the guilt of our past and is able, hallelujah, to help us in our present lives. It's his resurrection that assures us that our future is safe and secure. So, you know, without resurrection, we'd have no salvation from sin, no hope for our own future resurrection. But we do have that hope. So what are we hoping in, the resurrection? What does that mean? How would you define it? Eric. Oh, I'm sorry. We should do a roll call. Can I get a roll call tonight?
This is Shirley from Maryland.
This
okay.
is Margaret from Florida.
Hey, Sister Shirley. Margaret.
This is Bishop Michael from Tulsa.
Hey, Bishop. Thank you.
Bless you, Dr. Susie.
And who else we have? Anybody from Maine?
Gary's here from Maine.
Okay, we got Jerry there.
Edith from Maine.
And Edith. Yay, Miss Edith and Jerry. We're going to be praying for Jerry and Edith. Edith has Edith, is it okay if I ask them to pray for you? I already started now, so I guess like it's a little late to ask. I'm sorry, Edith. But I want to stop for a second in that we would have prayer for Edith and Jerry. So, Bishop, would you go ahead and lift up prayer for both of them? Miss Edith is going to have a procedure, so we need to have prayer for that. And we want to pray for Jerry as well, health-wise.
And also for Eric, his Jefferson family, as we get prepared to put his uncle to rest this weekend.
Okay, and the Jefferson family. Okay.
Amen. Lord, you said in your word, where two on earth agree is touching any one thing, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. And as Edith prepares to go into surgery, we pray that you would be the surgeon, that you would guide
Lord.
The scalpel. That,
yes, Lord.
Lord, by your stripes, we are healed.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And Jesus, thank you for taking that beating for our healing, our salvation, our resurrection. We thank you for it. You didn't have to do it, but you did. And because of that, we have the right that has been granted by you to ask for healing. Thank you for giving us physicians and doctors. Thank you for the science of medicine, but we thank you for the miracle of healing. We pray, we touch and agree that everything that is wrong will be made right by you. We lift up Jerry before you, God, that you would make him not only healed, but whole. In Jesus' name, we pray that you would take everything that is not like you, every illness, every germ, every molecule that is messed up, Lord, we pronounce him whole in Jesus' mighty name. There's nothing too hard for you. We pray for Eric's family. Lord, you tell us in your word that blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So, precious Holy Spirit, Jesus called you the Comforter. We pray and touch and agree that you would hover over this family in their time of bereavement and comfort them, minister to them. Let them feel your embrace and your very presence. Lord, we pray for peace and that the glory of God would be revealed through all of this. There shall be glory. After this, we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, we have to do everything decently in order. It wouldn't make sense to not love on the people that are in the Bible study and make sure that they're cared for. So we want y'all to know how much you love.
Amen.
So we were at the situation where we were asking questions. What does it mean? What does resurrection mean?
This is Margaret, and resurrection is the act of coming back to life after death. And for us as Christians, the first resurrection occurred when Jesus Christ died and rose again from the grave 3 days later. He was resurrected, and he will come back again, and then the dead at the last judgment will be resurrected with him.
Amen. Amen. There are, as Margaret mentioned, Christ's resurrection, a raising up, a standing up from the Greek anastasis. And we remember there were 9 resurrections we can think about in the Bible. Remember Elijah, Elisha, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
Peter, and Paul. Remember the little girl that Jesus raised? What was she, a widow? What was it? The son? Remember her son? What was she? She's the one who made the food for the prophet. What was her name? Eric, you know? Anybody? But that we know that there were many who were, at least 9 that were resurrected. So as we look at the word resurrection, that we understand that we're going to have, and looking forward to, the resurrection of the righteous. Specifically, you know, we want to be ready. And there will be, and the unrighteous, this is all about God's purpose, right?
Amen.
Because we all have to stand before him. We all have to, you know, and it's funny. Did anybody have any questions as a child or going through life that you ever had about the resurrection? What were some of the things that you thought about? There's so many things that, I always wonder, well, when people were resurrected, would they be able to identify each other? And so we'll be able to talk about that tonight. I wonder, you know, will I see my children? Will I see my family? And we'll talk about that tonight. Did anybody else have any questions when you were growing up? Did you wonder about different things about the resurrection?
Growing up as a little girl and by my grandmother being a district missionary, you know, you thought about
Amen.
The resurrection at Easter time when Jesus rose, and that was like, okay, it made me wonder, well, how did he rise? You know, by being a little girl, not understanding it. But as you get older, read more in his words, you find out how and why and the purpose of it. The purpose of it was to, he died on the cross for our sins. And then he rose again. So you'll be able to have faith to know that when he comes back, you will join him. I have mm-hmm. prepared a place for you. I go and prepare a place for you.
Come mm-hmm. on.
Mm.
Amen. 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 And that I'm justified because he rose. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yes.
Susie, this is Bishop. Go ahead, Doctor.
Yes, sir. No, I was just saying.
Yes.
I was acknowledging it. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. When I was a little fella, and this is kind of strange because in the church where I was growing up, they said Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in my little bitty mind, I thought that the resurrection around Easter time, it was cyclical, that he's dying again. We'd see the movies of Christ, crucifixion, and then the resurrection. Because
mm-hmm.
of my little finite mind, I couldn't understand that. I'm like, why do they keep killing him? Why do they keep killing him? But he only died one time.
Amen.
Right.
As I grow up,
amen.
As I was up, I found that path of the gospel. And when you talk about resurrection, it's also talking about revitalization. Because let's face it, folks, we look through church history. There was a couple of times the church died. And God sent revival. God sent a reawakening so he can revitalize our lives, our spirituality, our salvation. We grow cold sometimes.
Well,
so he can revitalize.
This is Dr. Susan.
Yeah.
Amen,
yes,
Bishop. And I was just piggybacking off of what you were saying. It made me think about, it gives us hope that goes beyond the grave.
Amen.
You know, you were talking about revitalization. It goes beyond. Come on.
Gives you something to look forward
somebody.
To.
Come on.
Gives you something
there
to,
you go.
Give you something to look forward
and joy.
To.
And joy. You were talking about joy, Sister Shirley, of knowing that he's with me today. He ain't
right.
it. Hallelujah.
Today.
He's with me right now.
Right. So
and
many
I have
people.
All,
so many people, this is Shirley again, so many people always say, I'm not ready to die, I don't want to die. But if you have your heart and your spirit right with Christ, there should be no fear. There should be no fear. Because he died and came back. When you read his word, he lets you know that when he said, I will prepare a place for you, okay, I understand. Now the light is going off. It's getting brighter. It's getting brighter. So the more and more you read about the rapture and the resurrection and the new body that you will get, oh, no. You should not have fear of death because that's the only way you're going to get resurrection is through death.
Amen.
It's a part of life. It is a part of
right.
life process.
It's a cycle of life.
Well,
this is
Eric, and all that's true, but the biggest part is that if you're not, as the old folks would say, you got to know that you know that you know, but there are a lot of people who don't know, so they fear death because
right.
they're not sure.
Right.
They're absolutely
they're
not sure. Nobody can explain
it's the
to
unknown.
Them. Nobody has come back to tell them that, you know, if you're dying, then what are you dying to? And I know that to be true because I had this conversation with my uncle as his sickness was getting worse, and he wouldn't sleep. And he said, man, I don't want to go to sleep because I don't think I'll wake up.
Mm.
And I said, Uncle, you'll wake up. You'll wake up. Either you'll wake up in this plane or you'll wake up with Jesus because you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You've been baptized. You say you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So don't
mm-hmm.
let that be the thing that keeps you from going to sleep because you
mm-hmm.
will wake up either in this plane or
Other
with
than.
Jesus. And,
ooh,
and
amen. Have mercy.
And so as we had mm. that conversation, he would relax still a little bit, but because it is unknown, and so we've got to make sure that you are secure in your relationship of the gift you have accepted and completely understand that you can't earn it, you don't merit it, it is a gift that you have received. And as
Amen.
Sister Shirley said, if you've received that gift and you understand that, then death is but a transition to a better life.
Right.
Amen.
This is Shirley again. That goes back to what we said last week about when people say they've gone to a better place, and Jerry was talking about, you know, they're sleeping and so forth. That's what that goes back to, that they've gone to a better place. For us here on earth, that kind of mellows us, give us comfort, because we know that they have given their life to Christ, and he was in the forefront of their life. So they know, we know that they have gone to a better place. And this reinforces for me that I know they have gone to a better place.
Amen.
It's just a matter of time before we see them again.
Amen.
So were there any other questions you guys had when you were younger? You know, did you wonder? I used to wonder if what kind of bodies we would have. Would we be ghosts, or would I, you know, would we be recognizable? You know, those kind of things we're going to talk about. I used to wonder about all that, you know. What was heaven like? Is it, you know, for me, when I heard about the streets of gold, I really thought, wow. You know, that's what I'm looking for, gold streets.
Paved with gold,
you know,
right?
And the light of the Lord is so bright that that you don't need any other light. And, you know, it's just being with the Lord every day is just, you know, the special celebration. Ooh, and it just seems so bright and beautiful, you know. So I really, you know, and it really... It's funny how when you receive those beliefs, and when somebody tries to come back and say, oh, that's just a metaphor, I'm like, not for me.
No.
Not for me.
No.
Not for me.
No.
No, I'm looking for the streets. I'm looking for the being able to walk around heaven all day. Come on, then, somebody.
Right.
So,
no,
did anyone else? So,
this
Brother
Margaret,
Eric or Margaret, go ahead.
I did wonder about what kind of body it was going to be. What was it really going to be, a real body? And as we study and review about Jesus appearing and eating with the apostles, and he could be touched, he could be held, he was real. It was a real body.
One of the points. Yes, yes. So
mm-hmm.
without that ado, is there anybody else? If I don't want to leave anybody out, if you had some stuff you wanted to share as we go into it. So the first thing it talks about in the book is our new bodies will be indestructible. So
yeah,
can we get somebody to read the first one's, yeah, indestructible. And someone get 1 Corinthians 15:42. If someone could get Psalm 16:10. And if someone else could get Romans 6:8-9. And someone gets Hebrews 9:27.
This is Margaret.
So,
I have 1 Corinthians 15:42. So
did someone get
with...
Hold one second. Did someone already get Psalm 16? So we can just roll.
Yeah, I'll get it's Psalm 16:42. 16:10. 16:10. Okay, I got that.
Can someone get Romans 6:8-9?
I get it. It's Romans what now, Dr. Susan?
6:8-9.
Thank you. I got it.
All right, Margaret, if you would start.
Okay. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15:42. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable.
Psalm 16:10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. That's the King James Version.
Okay. Romans 6, 8 through 9.
Romans 6, 8 through 9. If we die with Christ, we know we will live with him. Christ was raised from the dead, and we know that he cannot die again. Death has no power over him now. Amen.
Amen.
And Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So what are we learning about our new bodies and them being indestructible? We only die one time. What do we learn from that? What did you learn from your passage, Margaret, about the body that's indestructible?
When we die, our bodies are buried and go into the ground. On the day of resurrection, they're going to come out of the ground, but they will be different from when they went in. It will be the same in essence. We will still be human and still be who we are, but our bodies are inferior to the future glorious bodies that we will receive.
Amen.
Obtain everlasting life.
So 1 Corinthians 15:42, the one you read, says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. So it's not going to be corruptible. That means it's going to be indestructible. So what about Psalm 16:10?
Psalm 16:10, in other words, it says, "But for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." In other words, that's here on earth. And once I die, I will not remain there in the ground. I will be lifted up to join the holy man, the holy one. And my body will, because as it stands now on earth, immortality,
it won't
see
corruption.
Not granted immortality on earth. Right, but you know your bodies will be incorruptible and they will last forever.
That's right. That's right. You won't see corruption. Amen. Amen.
They won't age. You won't age. You won't wear out. It won't be susceptible to disease or anything like that.
Come on, no more sin. No more. No more struggle. No more pain. No more crying.
Disease
no more.
Free.
Ooh, thank you, Lord.
Right. Right. Just comfort. Just comfort.
Yes.
Comfort.
And what about the Romans 6 passage? Romans 6 passage. Bishop, are you there?
Yes, I was on mute. Please forgive me, y'all. It says, if we died with Christ, we know that we will also live with him. And that's the prepositional, if we die with Christ. Because, you know, there's some of us that leave this earth and they think all of this is magic. And let me say something right now. Magic is based on deception. This is not based on deception. This is based on faith and believing in God's word. If we died with him, we know we shall also live with him. And Christ was raised from the dead. And we now know that he cannot die again. He's raised from the dead once. He died only once. And here's the thing.
Amen.
Death has no power over him now. And when the power of death was taken away from us, the saints, death has no... Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory?
That's the power of the resurrection. The grave has no victory over us.
Amen.
Death has no power over us. When saints get ready to die, they're like, I'm getting ready to go to my what? My reward.
My hope, my respect. Right, right. To be with my Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So the power of death is no more.
Amen.
So
that's celebratory. That is so celebratory in that we look, you know, in these bodies that we live in, what we know now is that we don't know how much pain we're going to have. We don't know, you know, about the suffering that's involved, you know, and as Eric was talking about, you know, sometimes it's the unknown. Is there going to be pain or, you know, do we, you know, maybe that's where fear sometimes comes in because we don't want to be in pain. You know, we don't want to, you know, people die when they're burnt or they drown or, you know, different things happen the way that people die. But what this is saying is we don't have to worry about that. We do it one time and then
right.
we will right. never die again. We will never
yeah,
experience.
Right.
There's nothing that can be destructible to our bodies. Our bodies will be indestructible. Hallelujah.
Right. And last,
the enemy
forever.
Can't do anything, yes, anymore, eternally.
Amen.
With the Lord.
Amen.
We will be eternally
Amen.
With our Lord. So to me, that's celebratory. So when we talk about our new bodies will be indestructible and our new bodies will be identifiable. And this is what I was
mm-hmm.
wondering about as a kid. Will I see my grandma and know her? You
yeah.
know, will I see my baby that I lost? Will she know me? Will she be running to me? Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:49. Who's going to get that one? Can someone get Exodus 34:29? Exodus 34:29.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 15:49. So Shirley, I guess you got Exodus. Margaret, did you get 1
Exodus.
Corinthians?
I have 1 Corinthians 15:49.
Okay. Can I get someone to get Luke 24:39-40-43? Bishop, can you get that? Luke 24.
Luke. Yeah, and what are the verses, ma'am?
39 through 43. Is there anybody else
yes,
on
ma'am.
The line?
I am.
Ms. Edith, do you want to read one, Miss Edith?
Sure.
John 21:12-13.
I had something to say about the body that you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
I had a vision at the church when I was in the choir, and the thought went through my head, I wonder if my grandmother and my son know that I've made these changes in my life. And up in the balcony part, I saw my son, who died at 7 years old, and he was as tall as Jesus, but I knew him.
Mm.
And my grandmother was like she was when she was here on earth.
Mm.
I don't know what the difference is, but it was amazing to me. And then recently I've heard with Jimmy Swaggart say, that we were going to be 33 years old. I don't know if that's true or not, but it was a confirmation of what I saw.
I don't understand that, but the reality is, Miss Edith, when we get there, we will recognize them, and that's the important part, and that we will be with them again. Hallelujah. We will
yes.
be reunited with them again. Amen.
Amen.
Who am I looking for in John?
you want to write it down? John 21, 12 to 13.
12 to 13.
All right. So
okay.
Can we have others lead? Can we get 1 Corinthians 15:49, then Exodus, then Luke, then John?
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man.
I'm reading Exodus 34:29.
Yes, ma'am.
And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses winced not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. To see his face.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
That goes to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Dr. Susie, what was the Luke verse again? Because my thing is messing up.
Luke 24:39-43.
That's what you said, 39-46, because it's key. 39-46. 43.
I mean, if 46 gives clarity to you, do read what you see.
Okay. Verse 39. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. See me, because a ghost does not have a living body as you see I have. Mm-hmm. After Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and feet while they stood. But they still could not believe it. It was because they were amazed and happy. And Jesus said to them, do you have any food here? They gave him a piece of fish, which the followers watched. Jesus took the fish and ate it.
Amen. So does that mean we're going to be hungry and want to eat?
Big bowl of gumbo and rice.
Listen. So what we have, I still have a taste of flavor for some collard greens, but the idea is that we will. The reason why we are paying attention to what Jesus did is because we will be like who? Him. When we are resurrected, we will be like him. So we study to see what happened to Jesus, how he experienced it, how it was manifested with him, and then we know what will happen with us with our resurrection, because we will be like him. Go ahead, Shirley.
So food is going to be a necessity. It'll be a pleasure. So you won't need to eat to stay alive.
Right. That's what I inferred.
Yeah.
Did others of you get that same feedback perspective about eating?
In Revelations, it talks about the leaves of the trees for the healing of the nation, and there's fruit on some of those trees now. What is fruit?
Well, it doesn't mean we can't eat. Doesn't mean we can't eat. It just means that we don't have to. The way we eat now is we eat it for sustenance. Yeah.
Right.
Like the trees that were in the garden for Adam and Eve, right? There were trees.
Yeah.
There were fruits throughout the garden.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But we know they didn't have to eat.
This is Eric. Let's not say they don't have to eat, because now, hold up. Let me at least say this before I have to get off the phone. there is there is there now Well, we don't know, but there is this scripture in the Bible when God rained down manna from heaven, which was the food of angels, man got in the wilderness as they were leaving Egypt. So if the angels, if man is eating angels' food on earth with the manna, there gives some clarity that you may not have to eat for substance, but there is still food for you to enjoy. Now, whether it's for you to have to live like we're supposed to do now, right, we don't know.
Right.
But it's obvious that God has created that food is a part of our makeup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it talks about Jesus even hunger and thirst.
Right.
Right. We just read that scripture where he asked for food.
Right.
Yes. That's supporting exactly what you said. Perfect. So I have this question, Eric, for you. So when we look at the resurrection, and we're looking at these different attributes of the body that is indestructible, that is identifiable, what is it, what jumps out at you about it being identifiable? What good does it make you? What does it do for you to know that our bodies are identifiable?
It just means that what it really means is that we should be mindful of the things that we do here on earth and how we treat people. Now, Christ forgives us for all of our sins, but we still need to be mindful that there is still a mission for us here, because those same people we will see again that have accepted Christ as their Savior. We ain't going to see everybody.
Right.
But those who have accepted Christ as a personal Savior and have accepted the gift, we will see again. And they will have some consciousness, and we will as well. So that's the being identifiable. So when they see me, they'll know that's Eric. That's mm-hmm. Dr. Susie.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. Sister Shirley.
Right, right.
That's Bishop. That's Jerry. That's Edith.
Man.
And so we need to be mindful of that on how we conduct our daily lives, understanding as we study more and more about Christ and taking on his character, as the fruit of the Spirit talks about in Galatians. We need to be mindful of that today, because it will come into play at some point in time. Understand, Christ has forgiven us for all of that. God has forgiven us and cast those away. But there is consciousness that when it talks about these resurrected bodies, Christ knew his disciples after he was resurrected. Knew them by looking at them. Knew everything that they had done.
Eric, just wanted to, this is Margaret. In Luke 24:39, Christ tells the disciples as he joins them, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And so it was the same body, but it was transfigured. And whatever that, the essence of transfiguration, that is the change of the body, but it is identifiable as the same one.
Correct. Correct.
Amen.
Let me say one other thing, because I really am going to have to go. I wasn't trying to be facetious when I said that. I really am. Be mindful that you know, you just said it. He said, "Handle me," because ghosts don't have, you know, this. If that body was going to be in a state where we think of ghosts and all that, what's the use of a physical heaven that is described in Revelation?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
What would be the need for streets of gold? What would be the need for the 12 gates made out of a single pearl? What would be the need for the gemstones that we read about? What would be the need for all of that? There wouldn't be.
Amen.
It's a very good point, Eric.
So those resurrected bodies that we are looking for are going to be a tribute to God's awesome power and glory, but it's also a body that is going to be made for worshiping the Lord without
Amen.
Sin. That is the true essence of this new resurrected body, that it is the culmination of what God intended from day one with man.
Yes, right. Without
right.
ceasing.
Right.
We can go on.
Right.
And like the 24 elders around the throne, praising and praising and praising and praising.
Come on.
Glory to God.
So
no,
we've seen the body, thank you, Eric, as indestructible. We've seen it as identifiable. Now let's look at it quickly as incredible. So, Margaret, if you would read the scripture again, 1 Corinthians 15:43, and Shirley,
okay.
if you would read John 20:19. And Bishop, if you would get 1 Corinthians 15:44-45 and 1 John 1:1-2 as we close. You got
okay,
it, Margaret, whenever you're ready.
Yes. 1 Corinthians 15:43. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength.
Amen.
John 20:19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you.
So if the glorified body of Christ could pass through walls and travel by impulse of thought, maybe we'll be able to travel like that.
Amen.
But the point is, in this context, is that the body was incredible. It was strong. It was powerful. It was glorified. And that body is incredible. It is powerful. So we've got now that the body's indestructible, the body's identifiable, the body's incredible. Now let's look at the final part, that the body is infinite.
That's in 1544? Yes.
True.
Yes. Okay. Yes, 1544. 1 Corinthians 15:44.
Through 45.
It's 43. When the body is planted, it is without honor, but it is raised in glory. When the body is planted, it is weak, but when it is raised, it is powerful. The body that is planted is a physical body. When it is raised, it is a spiritual body.
Amen. Amen.
There's a physical body, and there is also
you got one more to read, Bishop. 1 John 1:1-2. You got the 1 John 1 as well?
1 John 1:1-2.
In the beginning
okay.
was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's 1 John 1:2. Oh, that's John 1:2. You want the 1 John?
1 John 1:2.
We write to you now that was always existed, which we have heard, we have seen with our own eyes, we have looked at, we have touched with our own hands. We write to you about the Word that gives life. He who gives life has shown us
We saw him give proof about it. And now we announce to you that he has life, continues forever. He was with God the Father and was shown to us. Amen.
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 Let me read it from the New Living Translation. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and shown you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us.
Hallelujah.
Infinite.
Yeah.
What does infinite mean? What does infinite mean?
No
limit.
No limit, no ending, eternal. On and on and on and on. So when we understand this resurrection that we're going to have, that we understand that our bodies will be indestructible, they will be identifiable, they will be incredible, and they will be infinite. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That is some celebration time right there. And see, to me, I get excited when we talk about eternal, when we talk about heaven is being with the Lord, being seeing the Lord, being exposed to the Lord, you know, not in my mind's eye, but face to face. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I just want to go, holy, 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 Lord, thou God Almighty. Just thinking about it. Just thinking about it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord,
yes,
you're worthy.
Get you excited with the joy shut up in your
Hallelujah.
Bones. It gets you excited.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, it does. And so those of you who are here tonight, I'm going to ask each one of you before we close to share one thing from this lesson that has impacted you, that jumps out at you, that you're going to take home. Start with Miss Edith. Britt, do you want to share since you're listening?
I'm here.
Okay. Do you want to share one thing? Miss Edith, you want to start off and share one thing?
Yes. The scripture you asked me to read in John says that Jesus took bread and giveth them and fish likewise. So his body, he did have to eat.
So he ate. Amen. So that jumped out at you. Awesome. How about you, Britt? You have to get off of mute.
Yeah. Good evening, Dr. Susie. I've been experiencing some technical difficulties, and so
that's okay. That's okay. Don't worry about it, bro. So, what is the one thing? We're running out of time. What is the one thing that you got from the lesson?
This is Shirley.
Go ahead. Shirley.
Okay, go ahead, Shirley.
The instructable body that we will have. No more pain, no more anything.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Miss Shirley, you know when you said that for me, it's like no more tears. The pain
right.
of losing my child, Lord Jesus, you just
right.
don't know. No more tears, no more sorrow.
No. And
hallelujah.
We will see them again. The fact that we will
Thank
see
yes.
them again.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes.
Thank you, God.
Yes, yes.
Just let me know that he's a will maker.
Yes. Jerry or Brett? Margaret? What's the one thing?
For me, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49 just speaks to me. Just as we are now like the earthly man that was Adam, we will someday be like the heavenly man, Jesus.
Amen.
And
amen.
That's
amen.
Our
amen.
Body,
amen.
Our eternal body.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, Brother Bishop, be prepared to provide an invitation and close this out. Is there somebody else who would like to share one of the things that they got from this? Anybody else want to share? Jerry, did you want to share if you felt like it? If not, just sit there. Does anybody else want to share what they got from this? Miss Britt, since you didn't get to, you've had time to formulate your words quickly. Amen. You're not, you're on mute, Brett.
No, I hadn't said anything because I missed the lesson, and I'll be prepared next week. I'll give you a call later on.
Okay. So as we've come tonight, we've said and we're actually been talking about the resurrection. We understand that this is very key for us, that the resurrection is a cornerstone of our Christian faith. As Margaret said, you know, we will resurrect as God has, and we will be like him. And so we're so excited because we will be with him eternally and forever. And as we are joined with him, we'll have new bodies that will be indestructible, identifiable, incredible, and infinite. Bishop.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died just to buy our pardon. And we thank God because of him we can live. You've heard us tonight talking about the resurrection. And that is what restored us to life. If you never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, now is a good time to do it. Our time here on earth as we know it now is winding up. This is not a fairy tale. The signs of the time we have been talking about are showing. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in different places. The island of Tonga just had volcano erupt underwater. Some of the islands have been destroyed. Time is winding up, people. Now, if you've been waiting to get saved, now's the time to do it. So I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. I confess that my sin is before me, and I ask you to forgive my sin. Lord, save me, heal me, deliver me. I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. I believe in my heart that Jesus died on the cross. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. According to your word, God, I am saved. I am born again. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, we want you to get to a Bible-believing church. That means a church that believes the word of God is infallible and true. Get into that church. Learn and tune into the Bible study. And God will do wonders through you and with you. Welcome, my friend, to the family of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. For those of you who have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, tonight we just ask that you would make sure, if you would like to let us know and share with us that you accepted the Lord, feel free to write us at drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com or call 646-478-4932 next week. Brett?
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Susie. Now, like I said, I had some technical difficulties, so this is kind of a wing-it type thing. We enjoy having
you
listening to those. I didn't say I couldn't do it, Dr. Susie. We enjoy having you listening, and to those that participate, we thank you. Your Place Love Connection Bible Study is a place that you need to be every Tuesday. We meet from 7 to 8:15 every Tuesday. Our phone number is 646-478-4932. Remember, this is not a church service, but a study of God's Word. We would love to hear from each and every one of you. Until next week, God be with you. Have a good evening. Good night.
And it is our mission church, so thank you.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.